Blog Talk Radio.
Of the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I'm super excited to be here this morning to remind us, of the goodness of God. I tell you, the more I study, the more I sit still with myself, and the more I learn of these wonderful tools, I just have to say, come on, God, do your stuff. Do your stuff. This thing is so powerful. But guess what? As powerful as it is, it's simple. But guess what? It's not that simple enough, I guess, for us to do it. Because we got to look at ourselves. But I'm going to get started right now with Frankie Beverly and Maze. I'm going to take you back to when my mom on the holidays would be in the backyard barbecuing and the whispers. Isley Brothers, Frankie Beverly and Maze, y'all. And it's Mother's Day coming up soon, so I just want you to know, to all the mothers that's still on the planet, I love you, sending you lots of love this morning. And to all the great mothers who made their ascension, we just send love and light to our ascended, wonderful, amazing ancestors. I love you this morning, and that's what we're going to play Happy Father's Day right here in the live chat.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another experience with Janine Ann Ingram. Your love experience. And we're going to get started by recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this holy universe. And on this line, we recognize the Spirit of God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And I want you to just become very centered in this right now moment. Centered. And I want you to become centered by becoming very still and know that there is power in the breath. And so as we become very intentional, releasing our mind and our thoughts on anything other than the truth, releasing anything that does not serve us a higher purpose, anything that reminds us, anything that's in our behavior, and I want you to breathe through it right now by becoming very intentional about the breath. I want you to breathe in through your nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Then release the breath. And remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart. And so, family, I want us to be very intentional. And breathe together Let's breathe. Still and know that I am God. Breathe for me. And release. Let's do it again. Be still and know I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, be still, and know that I am God. I want you to breathe for me. And release. And as we call in the Divine Mother Spirit this morning, asking and bringing forth and invoking the great cosmic mother, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, and all of our ancestral mothers, our greats, great, great, greats, and grands, and our mothers this morning, we call forth and give thanks for their energetic expression, and especially if we have any of those mother expression still on the planet. We just want to thank you, God, for this opportunity to bless the Divine Mother Spirit as we ask for the forgiveness of all the mothers. And as we send love into all of those who are having some kind of disharmony with their mother this morning, we just want to send love into that experience.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today, I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my mother.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. As we release any expectation of how our mothers should show up, come into the space of acceptance and of knowing that our mothers is the perfect outworking of the experience that we need to become who you created us to be, to manifest the best of us in this right now moment. We give thanks for the experience of our mothers. Divine Mother, Father God, we give thanks right now, God. We give thanks for the experience in knowing that we are all that you are, God, and that our job is to shift our perception. Our job is to do the inner work so that the outer workers can express the expression of you, God. I just come to you this morning, invoking my higher mind, my beloved I Am presence, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will come from that place of my higher mind self. Come on, Holy Spirit, and bless and anoint us this morning, God. Raise the consciousness and the vibratory energy of who we are right now, God. Raise the vibratory energy of our expression of you on this planet. Come and bring forth a fresh anointing on this day, God. Bring forth a new wineskin, God. And God, give us the courage to operate in our new being and to move forth with all enlightened ideas. Let there be light this morning, God, as you download all inspired information within us this morning, God. That we may be the blessings that you so commanded us to come forth on the earth to be. This morning, as we declare and decree your greatness in us, we bless it right now, God. As we decree and declare this day to be in a blessing, one of the best days of our life, we declare it in the name of Jesus. We ask you to come and bless and anoint our hands. Bless the work of our hands, God. Let our names be associated with great things, God. Let our actions be in sync with your will today, God. As we welcome all the opportunities to grow and expand, God, I ask you to come and anoint our money substance, God, that it will be amplified, spiritualized, and multiplied right before our eyes. Come on, Holy Spirit. With spiritual manifestation, come on, Holy Spirit, we decree and declare this morning, God, that we will be anxious for nothing, God, that you will bring peace upon us that will surpass our understanding, God. Oh, we decree and declare in the name of love, God, as we pioneer new territories, that you will expand our territory as we walk in your favor this morning. We will go forth and possess all the land that you have given us. There will be no holdups, no holdouts, no setbacks, and no delays, God. Oh, we bless us. We will not look back and return to the old, but we will look to the new as we ascend into new realms of power and authority and access new dimensions of divine revelation as you breathe a new life into every dormant dream. Huh? Hallelujah, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe new life into every dormant dream as we anticipate the great things that you prepare for us today. As we bring complete order into this day, we seek you first, God, recognizing how we start our day is how we live our day. So we make your will, the will of our soul, our priority this morning, God, as we rejoice in this day that you have given us, as we praise you for the making of it fruitfulness and a productiveness, as we thank you for your teaching us ways to increase our effectiveness, to work smarter, and as we work according to your agenda, God, knowing that, oh, wow, the work that we do is the expression of you. All the dawn of new possibilities, we glorify you today, God. And as today, with great anticipation of all the things you prepare for us, we say thank you, God. All the things that you have already prepared for us, as we command our angels to go forth to create this day with ease, elegance, and grace, as we enjoy all the possibilities of the newness, as we receive, God, as we open our arms wide to you right now, universe, thanking you for all that you have that will send us today and have sent us. Ease our mind. As we ease our mind, God, placing all thoughts and desires and wants at your feet, God, knowing that it will ease the load and free our mind for greater peace, joy, and creativity. And by more effectively ordering your day, we gain a sense of a purpose, an increased productivity, an environment of creativity, a greater focus, flow of accomplishments. We just give thanks, God, that we ease our mind, knowing that whatever is concerning us, you already have it, God. It's already done. Already done. Because can't nobody do you like you, God. So today, this powerful, divine essence that is known by so many names, that we recognize you by so many names, we release into the spirit of you today, God, into the presence, knowing that our money substance is amplified, spiritualized, multiplied with spiritual blessings. As we recognize our health, to return, asking ourselves to return to every highest vibration and expression of you right now, God. All the great forces in this universe, we absolutely come before you today. And guess what? We just want to say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And as we play a little Erykah Badu and Roy Ayers, everybody loves the sunshine. May this day be full of sunshine for each and every one of us as we get started on today's message. Knowing that only you.
And the brother told me he was going to go to the sun. I said, brother, if you go to the sun, you're going to burn up. He said, no. When I go to the sun, I'm going to go at night. I said, yeah, right. The brother's tripping.
Your body love the sunshine. what I feel when I'm feeling in the sunshine. It blows my mind. I'm feeling fine. Do what I do when I do what I do when I'm doing. Yeah, in the sunshine. I wanna see it again and do it again. Oh,
just be some things and flowers.
Good morning. You're tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and I am your daily lover. We're going to talk about, yes, how to change others. An article written by Eric Butterworth. Reverend Judith sent me that yesterday, and I thought, let me Google Eric Butterworth. And I saw this article, and I said, oh, this would be good to share with everybody. You know I love to share. You tuned into The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and I am your daily lover, and that was Roy Ayers and Erica Badu right here on The Love Journey. Let's get started, family. I know we always thinking, oh, my God, if we could just, what if life could be, if we could just change others, you know. People show up in our space and irritating us and all this stuff, and well, they show up in our space and we just wish for them more than they could wish for themselves sometimes. And we can't see past the physical presence of what's showing up sometimes. I used to wish my mom wasn't hooked on drugs. And I wish that I had the knowledge and the power to understand that if I could have saw her differently and blessed the better part of her earlier in her life, maybe earlier we could have had a different relationship if I knew how to use those kind of spiritual tools. And even though I had knowledge of that, I was more concerned about manifesting and still more materialistic and not really about the soul essence of my life. Because, you know, that's not where I was at the time. In my 20s, it was about cars, furs, and diamonds, and they're going to love my new shoes I got on when I walk in the place. That's I bought these shoes. It's cold. Look at this. Oh, when I walk up in there. That's really what I used to think. All men pause when I walk into the No, I'm just joking. But seriously, that was really my thought process when I was in my 20s. And so I didn't really give a lot of thought to the spiritual aspect of those kind of things, even though I was manifesting with a lot of my spiritual tools that I was learning in Christ's universal temple, my vision boards, my prayers, my journaling, and all that stuff. But I was still in a very physical process. It wasn't until years into life, and it's still kind of early in my life, 30s, maybe my early 40s. But I think it was more like my 30s. One day I woke up and said, I need more. I want more. And I said, how could I be like Jesus? So I remember Burning Bowl Friday, you know, Burning Bowl is the first Friday of every January in the year. And this was when Johnny Coleman was still alive. And I remember getting up that Friday morning, getting myself prepared to do my fire experience, my Burning Bowl experience. And I remember thinking, what do I want to bring into this new year? And I said, you know, I really don't want to ask God for any new cars and clothes or anything. I want to bring forth a new spiritual characteristics. So I drew an outline of, it wasn't really an outline of myself, but it was an outline of what I would imagine if I could draw really good of myself. And I just added words. I didn't write a letter like we normally do to God. I just drew this vision of myself, and I just put words on it. And I wanted to manifest the presence of Christ in me. I wanted to manifest my presence to be a blessing. When I walked in a room, I wanted to be Christ consciousness in the room. I wanted my presence to be so powerful that just by my mere presence walking in a room, that it will change the atmosphere. So I wrote those kind of things around myself in this picture. And in the Burning Bowl experience, if you don't know about the Burning Bowl experience at the Unity Temples, you write one letter to release things that you no longer want to have in your life. Now, you don't write people's names, things like that, because you don't want to burn people, but you want to burn the experience of lack, poverty, things that you no longer want it in your life, disharmony. And so you wrote it in to burn that experience and release it, because fire symbolizes the cleansing and the releasing of something. And then you write another letter for them to pray over for 6 months. And the letter that I'm talking about, I decided to not write a letter. I drew myself in and imagined, you know, myself, the light of, and I surrounded myself with this beautiful, amazing aura energy that would project when people saw me. And I just wrote all these characteristics. I was still very, not in the 30s. And I remember just, that's all I wanted. I wanted to spiritualize. I wanted to manifest spiritual characteristics. I wanted to be the beauty, the presence, the consciousness of God on the planet. And I remember that day when I wrote it and I sent it in. And I remember that year starting to change the perception of myself. But more importantly, was starting to change the perception of how I saw others. And that's what we're going to talk about today on this call. How did we get to change others? This is an article written by Eric Butterworth. Again, I want to say Reverend Judith, lots of love. She sent that to me. She sent the title. Or the book, I assume it was a book, and I started Googling and I found this article. How to Change Others by Eric Butterworth. You see, the attempt to change people is the greatest energy waste of all. Ooh, let me say that again. Our attempt to change other people is the greatest energy waste of all times. Not because people cannot change, because people change is a growth process from within. In most cases, the desire to change another person arises from the very subtle urge to make them into something they are not. You see, this other soul can never be anything than what they are. Though their potential may be seriously frustrated, we cannot turn and make people what we want them to be. It is a perfectly natural thing to see the needs of people and want to do something about them. However, much as we want to change another person, the first step is not to set them right, but rather to see them rightly. Let me say that again. Our first step is not to set them right, but for us to see them rightly. And to see them rightly, we must get rid of some very narrow frames of reference. For instance, if you have an enemy, you must get rid of your enmity, meaning your inner enemy. If you are very much troubled over the crisis being faced by a loved one, you must first dissolve your troubled thoughts. I want you to really marinate on this idea. If we want to change the person that we're looking at, we must change our thought process, our troubled thoughts about them first. We must change our thoughts. It's a natural thing for us to want to help and change somebody. But we got to change how we feel those hostile or opposing thoughts about what we feel about that particular person change. So I'll give you an example, and I'll give you an example because a lot of relationships, husbands and wives, we're holding things against our spouses, and we see them in that hostile light. They're this, that. If we want to see something different in our spouses, we first got to get rid of our own troubled thoughts. Be an influence, he said. All the persons about whom you are concerned, no matter how much you love or hate them, exist as far as you're concerned in your mind, your prejudice, your concerns, though it is certainly possible to be an influence for good and bringing about great changes, the process involves something you do within yourself. It has to start with us. For example, if we see our children, they come in and they doing things that we no longer appreciate. So I'm working with my girlfriend to help raise her consciousness because her son is drinking a lot and you know, all these kids are smoking weed. Like, I don't know, like, and not to say, I'm not judging anybody's process, but every day, all day, these kids are just, and they smell like skunk. And you say, why do these kids feel like they need to be so high every day, all the time? So we have to look at our children and bless the process in them and see beyond what the physical is bringing us. And we got to do the work within because our hearts are troubled. And I have to admit that I had to move past myself too because it's making these kids so lethargic and move slow and not move in a pace. You know, and I want them to know that they don't need anything for alternative consciousness in order to survive every day, all the time. Drinking and doing these babies, I had to get past myself so that I can even work with her so that I wouldn't have troubled thoughts, but that we can only see the inherent goodness in each child, each one of our children. Because your babies are my babies. And I pray that you feel my babies are yours. And that we can all see them in a raised consciousness. And collectively, the more we can see our children in a raised consciousness, the more of their inherent goodness will come out faster, quicker, because we will be blessing the goodness in them. Just like we should do our spouse and ourselves. Just like we should do when we're in disharmony with our mothers or friends or family or sisters and brothers. Wherever we disharmonize in ourselves, we need to bless that situation. So here's four things that Eric Butterworth say we should do. He say, first, pray about the person. It should be noted that much that passes as prayer for a person is little more than concentrated worry about them. Prayer for oneself is a matter of lifting one's consciousness from one level to another. But how can you lift the consciousness of another person? You cannot. You can only lift your consciousness, and no matter how concerned you are about someone else, and yet you can be a great help. Starting place is your concern. When you rise above this human perspective, you will begin to feel at peace about the person, and then you can whisper a quiet namaskar to them. This means that the divinity in you salutes and relates to the divinity in them. So as you pray for yourself to raise the consciousness in order for your eyes to only inherently see the goodness in them. And as you bless that particular person and as you bless your consciousness to raise in your vibratory, you begin to feel at peace. Then you call forth the divinity in you to see the divinity and salute the divinity in the other person, that you may come forth in the consciousness of Christ to salute the consciousness of Christ in them, and that you only see Jesus Christ, conscious God, however you see them, and use these terms that that's the, what you would see in that person. I'm telling you, this will keep a marriage together. You wonder how to keep a marriage together? Bless your spouse. You wonder how to have your children move into a different direction? Bless them and see them in the inherent goodness that they are. You know, it's interesting because it's so easy to get caught up in the seemingly appearance of physical process. I would say even in your own personal life, see yourself and salute the divinity in you. Bless the presence of God in you. Call forth that vibratory energetic expression and bless the places in your life that feel like life. You know, if there's a disease in the body, then go forth and raise the consciousness and pray about it. And but not, you know, it's important that we must talk about how to pray. I'm not talking about the kind of prayer that puts you in a place of less than, but a prayer that affirms your greatness, that you can rise above what you are physically feeling and rise above in the consciousness so that you can speak to the situation. So when you, there's a way to pray to move yourself into that consciousness so that when you're in alignment with that consciousness, you can call forth and speak that thing and manifest the healing process, and that can be taking place. Now, what does this all mean? Does that mean sometimes it will be instant? Yes. Does that mean all the time it'll be instant? No. Sometimes we can pray for a thing and it instantly show up, but sometimes it's the seeds that we plant that we have to be patient and continue to water and let the sunshine and the water and nurture what we have already planted. And how do we do that? How do we water and nurture a seed that we plant? Because once we ask, it's already done. Once you put the seed of healing there, And your consciousness try to take you back. So if you're blessing this, your money substance, and your mind is trying to take you back to lack, then what you immediately do is raise your consciousness back to the place that, and you use your no power. No. You command that thing. Some things you got to tell it, no, I will not allow the presence of you to be in this present moment. I release you. So I use money right now. Let's speak to our money. So you look in your bank account and you're like, what happened? How in the world? And you speak to that situation. No. I am an unlimited child who bank at the unlimited bank of the universe. And I bless my money substance. In the mighty consciousness of Jesus. And whatever words you want to use, you know, that's just what I'm saying. And I want you to realize that you have the power to see beyond what is showing up. And so as you call forth the blessing of the other person by seeing and saluting the divinity in them, or seeing and saluting the divinity within yourself, calling forth that divine presence and being able to see into the presence of your healing in whatever area that needs to be healed. So you call forth your consciousness. Everything starts within. And once you salute the divinity, this means that the divinity in you salutes and relates to the divinity in them. Feel good about this realization that beyond their appearance, there is an allness within their illness and all sufficiency within this seemingly insufficiency. How long should you pray for this one? You want to help? As long as you feel concerned. And whenever there's a feeling of release and inner peace, the work is done. What does that mean? That means sometimes we fall back into the consciousness and at the seemingly appearance. So every time my friend's son come home and he's inebriated and she forgets to recognize and salute the divinity because she's not happy with what's going on, we get her consciousness back into the space to continue to see the greatness in him and continue to affirm placing him on her altar and seeing nothing but the greatness of God in him, and that that the sufficiency of God's love will take the taste out of his mouth. I did that with my daughter, Asia, my youngest daughter. She was going to the Afropunk and called herself going to smoke weed. And I told her, girl, I'm about to pray over you right now. I'm about to bless you that every time you try to put a puff, it'll be a bitter taste in your mouth. She called me. She said she got so sick. I was like, oh, yeah, girl, now I know prayers. Prayers work. I blessed that thing out of her so good. It reminded me of one of Tyler Perry's movies. And no, it was a play. And Madea was asking somebody, you know how you get the hell out of water? I forgot how it goes. Oh, you know how you bless the water? You boil the hell out of it. Something like that. I forget. You know, I can't tell no jokes. But anyway. The second thing is to establish yourself in the conviction of the divinity of people. Establish yourself in the conviction of the divine presence of all of us around us. Practice believing in people. Instead of generalizing about the limitations of people or group, you just can't trust people these days. Oh, men are this and women are that. Look for the good performances of people and generalize them. Aren't people just wonderful? People are so amazing. One of the most effective things a parent can do for a child, or a teacher for a student, or an executive for an employee is to believe in them and let them know that they do. Do you know the rising blessing power to just know that somebody believes in you? I believe in you. I believe in your greatness. It's so easy for us to fall astray and get caught up in a conversation. Girl, you know how men are. Girl. Boy, you know how these women are. Oh, yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in a conversation of all the stuff, especially what's going on right now. We got all these great people that's being fallen from grace because of their sexual allegations. You know, we got R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, and it's so easy to get caught up in the conversation. Oh, what do you think? And this and that. And or what's that man named? Donald Trump. It's so easy to be caught up in the conversation and inherently think about the processes of how men show up on the planet. It's easy to get caught up in that conversation with all the stuff that's going on. But I'm grateful that these things are being exposed so that we can heal the consciousness of that, so that we can heal the consciousness of the masculine energy and the feminine presence on this planet, and we can balance out those energies so that we can recognize that we're powerful beings. And anything that is hidden, we only as sick as our secrets. So no longer they have to be secrets. We can heal the presence of this. And now we can see our people in the king, the queens that they are. And expose the secrets so that we can heal them, not so that we could continue to see them in the presence of those allegations, but to see the greatness. And to bless them and to heal them. I send love and light to Bill Cosby a lot. I send love and light to all the women that may have felt some kind of way in the presence of Bill Cosby, that they can be healed so that on this planet we won't have to continue this kind of exploration, so we can continue to see. And I pray that God will keep Bill Cosby so that we can continue to see some of the great things that he did, because his work has changed a lot of how we show up in Hollywood. And no, I'm not denouncing anything that he did that caused harm to other people, but what I am saying is that in his legacy, that he can also be remembered for the good as he healed. And as we send healing love to him and all the people that may have allegedly suffered from some of the choices, unhealed choices that he made, and unhealed choices that they made to be in his presence. And that's the kind of conversations we got to start having. We got to start sending love and light into this planet, into the people who are making unhealed choices. And I'm grateful that these unhealed choices are being exposed in the light so we can heal it, because we can only heal what we can see needs to be healed. So I give thanks for the presence of these healing things that need to be healed. And I need us to see it differently and not just talk about it in a light, but to talk about the presence of the divinity that God is in the healing presence of all that has happened. And that we will give thanks to Mother Earth as she exposed these things that need to be healed, so that we can work together in our own inner divine masculine, inner divine feminine presence. I say that because my inner masculine needed a lot of work. He needed a lot of work, I mean. Because I really wasn't giving a lot of attention to my inner masculine energy. It wasn't until the universe, God, brought it to my attention that I needed to heal my own inner masculine. I was standing at that sunrise service, and I'm thinking I'm doing a phenomenal job, and God says, heal the inner masculine. Oh, yeah, next year we're going to do it. Healing the masculine energy on the planet. And it was so interesting because in that year to come, was we just saw so much police killing so many of our men. And I'm thinking, God has really got me doing some great work. Yes, look at all this that's happening on the planet, and God has chosen me as one of the people to help to heal the inner masculine. And that's what I really thought. But at the end of the day, the work was to heal my own inner masculine. My own numbness to the presence of the inner masculine of myself. And I didn't even realize that I had a numb feeling to my own inner masculine. And in some ways, I emasculated my own inner masculine, which probably led to me emasculating my own husband and boys and men in my own life. Because, and then thinking that the disharmony was them and not me. Because I wasn't honoring my own sacred masculine presence. But the day that I gave my inner masculine a name, and it was hard for me to really get into the feelings of healing the inner masculine, because I didn't have no emotional presence for it. I never had a father and really didn't have a lot of men growing up in my life. Now, even though I had been in a relationship with Brendan for 32 years, it was really interesting to know that I still had some stuff to work on and heal in that area. But when I began to shift my own inner masculine presence, and I tried to do it by imagining a father figure, couldn't get into it. I tried to write to what I would think a father would feel like. I just couldn't get into it. And every time I sat at the altar, even though the universe had told me it was time to heal my own inner masculine, it wasn't about healing the inner masculine on the planet. It was about healing my own presence. The work was for me to heal me. I still couldn't figure out how to do it. And then one day I was passing by Facebook, just passing by, and a lady, Goddess Charmaine, was teaching us. And I just stopped and listened. Let me just tell you, God gives you what you need when you need it. She was teaching about the divine masculine. And she said to give your divine masculine presence a name. So I sat with myself, I sat at my altar, and I began to imagine, what would I name my inner masculine? Because I was really more ever always blessed in my feminine presence, but I realized that I needed to balance out my inner divine with my inner divine masculine with my inner divine feminine presence. And so I began to sit with myself, I put my altar, and I sat and meditated. It took a while. Then I meditated for a while, raised my consciousness. Then I lit a candle and laid across my bed and had my Miles Davis playing. And I said, if I can only imagine, what would your name be? And the name whispered, Mustafa. Can I tell you, chills ran down my spine. I was so grateful that Mustafa came. So I wrote Mustafa a letter, and I put it on my altar. And I apologized for all the times that I ignored it, and it was so numb to the presence of me that I hadn't even acknowledged my own inner masculine presence, my own inner lover. And my heart began to open to Mustafa. And so I asked Mustafa, what is the first thing that needs to be healed in my own inner presence, in my own inner masculine? Girl, oof, trust. Trust. And I knew that was true because I really, let me tell you, I think about all the time when my children were first born. Now, I love Brenton with all my heart. And he never gave any indication other than a phenomenal man. But let me tell you, I would get up anytime he had to get just to hear what was going on. I would just, and one day he was fussing at the children or something. And he was disciplining them. And I guess I got in the way one too many times. And he set me down. He said, you don't trust me with my own children. And so I was laying there when Mustafa said trust. I started thinking about all the times that I showed up not trusting Brittany with his own children. And I don't know why. I didn't know why. And all the times that I didn't trust in other situations, in other things, in other people. And so I had to work on my ability to trust my inner masculine. That was the first place that Mustafa said I needed to work on. And let me just tell you, I didn't even trust Pramila even for being to even take care of me in a way that this is the first time and for me to really just let go and allow the universe to do what it needs to do, was to learn how to trust and to receive from the masculine the way that I should, in a feminine way. I always felt like I had to be in control. I had to tell him how to do and what to do and do. And Spirit said, just operate in your feminine energy. Allow your masculine energy to be present. And trust that it will do what it needs to do and lead you and guide you in the way that it should. That was some work for me to do because I thought I had to control the situation. Thought I literally had to control the situation. I'm just explaining to you the inner work that I had to do to heal my inner masculine. So we have to realize what conversations that we're saying when we're generalizing about people and things. What in us really needs to be healed? Care for the conviction of generalizing limitations about people and groups. Because it's so good for a group of us to get together and then start talking about whatever generalizations that we want to generalize in that conversation. Men this, women this, that, black people, white people this, and that. And that's where we have to change the conversation. He said, thirdly, if you really believe in people, you will find it easy to bless them, and you should do so. When you meet and greet people, when you talk or write to them, let your faith in them flow through a namaskar attitude, meaning that you allow yourself to salute the divinity in them. There are many levels of consciousness in people and in ourselves. We can always make contact with any person on the level to him or them we choose. If someone rubs us the wrong way, we are probably reacting to them in the abrasive, they make my blood boil level of consciousness. You see, obviously there's a conflict. a large portion of the good life we open to you like a new horizon of abundant living when you really understand Jesus' turn the other cheek technique. We can't control the actions or behavior of another person, but most certainly we can regulate what we react to negatively. When we discipline ourselves to turn quickly to a higher level of perception, we may be amazed at how rapidly other people begin to interact with us on a higher level as well. All people with whom we have communication unknowingly and yet dramatically will begin to act more friendly and lovingly and harmoniously. Now, let's talk about that in real terms. Let me break down what that is really saying. Now, if you just tuned in to The Love Journey, you tuned in to The Love Journey. This is your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram. I am reading to you Eric Brotherworth's article on how to change people. This is the fourth step right here, right? No, the third step, right? And what this is saying is that when we start to believe the inherent goodness of people, it's easier to bless that person. It's easier to bless them. And what he's talking about when he says Jesus said to turn the other cheek, we're turning the other cheek, but what that really means is to raise your cheek to a higher level of consciousness, which shifts the energy. Let's talk about energy for a minute. You see, when we're turning the cheek that we, you know, we talk, we're not taught to, it's not saying turn the other cheek and let them slap you again. What this is saying is to turn the other cheek is to move into a higher space of consciousness. And when you move into a higher space of consciousness, the only thing that can meet consciousness is consciousness. Meaning wherever you are in consciousness, only thing that can meet you there is meet you is wherever you are in that consciousness. So if you come to me in a space of disharmony, somewhere in my consciousness, I have allowed disharmony energy, so I'm tuned into that frequency, so now it's in my space. My job is to move, is to turn the other cheek, but to turn the other cheek really means in metaphysical is to move your consciousness to another level, and that person either will rise to that consciousness or move out your space, because water reaches levels. Consciousness means consciousness. Frequency means frequency. If I am on a love vibration, you can't come to me with disharmony and shift my consciousness. Because when you get in my consciousness, my love energy is going to shift you into such a powerful presence that you're going to show up as love, or you're going to release yourself from my presence. So that's what this is talking about. You want to be sent into a place that your consciousness meets only consciousness. So people are a demonstration of where we are in our conscious level of our energy. When somebody shows up, so, and we get irritated, where in us that this person is showing us irritation, what in this particular irritation needs to be healed. What in me needs to be healed by the presence of this irritation showing up in my life right now? What in me is being exposed right now that needs to be healed? And I tell you, right, so I'm sitting in the bedroom, I'm cleaned up the house, mopped the floor, and everything is beautiful and amazing. Beautiful candles is lit, and I'm reading my good old book, and Brenton walks in the door from work. He comes and sits on the other side of the bed, and I'm sitting all cool, calm, reading my book. I acknowledge his presence and continue to read. I could feel him a little off, but I didn't really think about it. And then next thing you know, we in an argument. I'm like, what? And so in the middle of him saying whatever he was saying, I began to think to myself, where in the world is this a reflection of my inner self, because I feel so peaceful and I'm feeling good, but what in me right now is attracting or reflecting this energetic expression that's causing us to feel this way? So I begin to go within and just disintegrate this energy into love. I let him say what he say, and I don't even remember, to be honest, what he said, because I had tuned the actual words that were coming out of his mouth out, and I just remember praying within and bringing love into the energy and the space. And it could have been that he was just having a bad day from work, and he had carried it over into the house. And so I just loved the energy. And because I normally would not like us to go to sleep with that, and I would be, you know, trying to fix it, I went inside to fix it this time, which is something I had normally never done. And I just told myself, I love you, Janine. You are an amazing gift to the planet. I love myself. And I wrote myself a love letter on my way to sleep. And every time on my way to sleep that I try to replay the situation over and over again because it upsets you and you can't sleep, you toss and turn. I would not let my mind focus in on the conversation, and I didn't let it toss. And every time it come up, I would just disintegrate it into love and release my thoughts of it. And finally, I went to sleep, and I just allowed love to, you know, love me to sleep. And I just kept singing to myself, and I kept blessing myself, and I kept saying to myself, I love myself, because I didn't want to go to sleep with that energy in my body and my cells. I just wanted to go to sleep in peace. And I promise you, the next day we woke up, he began to apologize, and he began to say things to me that was in my letter. I had to look under my pillow to see if my letter was there. But what was interesting is that he had never done that before. He was never the one to first one to apologize, not in words, because his love language or a way he wanted to apologize is fishing you food or service, you know, doing some service for you. And that's instead of ever apologizing, it was, you hungry, babe? I'm going to fix us something to eat, and he'll fix you something special, fix me something special. And that was, and I didn't even realize one day that that was his way of apologizing. But he actually said the words, I apologize. He actually said, I love you, and I don't want us to be whatever, whatever, and everything that was in that letter. But I want to share with you that was the power of shifting the consciousness. That was the power of shifting the consciousness. Fourth thing they say, act as if the change you want to see manifest in another person has already taken place. It will give you a sense of release from the pressures and pain in your relationship, Ghost said. When we take a person as they are, we make them worse. But when we take them as if they were already what they should be, we advance them to what they can be. 3 dozen words that surpass a whole library of books on human relationships. Certainly pray for people, but remember you must change your thought about them and believe in them. Hold to the awareness that every person is a child of the Most High. And no matter how they are acting, salute the divinity within them, see them and deal with them in the consciousness of the Namaste consciousness. But most importantly, treat them as if they were already what you believe them to be. He said, it's all in your head. To treat the alcoholic as a weak person or the ex-convict as a criminal or the young rebel as an outcast, and you prevent any effective communication, creating all kinds of blocks in you and in them. On the other hand, believe in the inherent goodness in the person and treat them as if they were actually there, and you will find yourself pushing all the right buttons in them. In the very real sense, the only way you can change what another person is and does is by changing your thoughts of concern and by committing them into the Father's Divine Mother's Keeping. This is an excerpt from the book Celebrate Yourself by Eric Butterworth. And I just wanted to share those concepts with you this morning. That's my message on this day. The work is inside. And the answer is always you. Now, I wanted to share different stories with you to show it only works if we work it. It only works if we work it. And family, you have the power to work your tools. You have the power to work your tools. But let me just tell you this. The first thing I want you to know on this day is you got to have patience. Some things will instantly change, and some things it takes time to manifest. It's a process. But you got to keep believing, and you got to keep seeing even when you can't see it no more. You got to keep moving through the process and know that God is good, and it's going to be your eyes and your blessings and your words. We only need one person to shift the consciousness of the atmosphere. That one person might be you. So today, family, know that you have the power to shift your relationships You have the power to see differently in your money substance. You have the power to heal whatever's going on in the dis-ease of your body, but you gotta speak to that thing. You gotta speak to it and bless it and see it healed. You gotta see it already. My grandmother used to say you gotta see your way through it, but I didn't understand. She was meaning for us to see the blessings of it through it. So that's my message for today. And so today, know that you are loved in the mighty consciousness of God. Know that you are all that God is. Go forth and have a prosperous, amazing day, and that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice, family. And remember, don't just dream your God-sized dreams. Live them, family. This is the brand new heavies right here on the love journey. Never give up. Never give up. Have a phenomenal day, family. Well, never give up. Don't want to play, huh, family? I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder why the computers do what they do. Let's see. Well, just doing what it want to do today. Well, we'll just end it. Know I love you, and know that the love of God is always around us. As I remind you to trust the process. Have a great day.